Where did I say to turn, Jared? I got barking so loud, I forgot to say. Psalm 91. This is us, fellas. This is us going into the streets this weekend. Got a lot of stuff I want to show you today. My wife, I wish if she's down here, I'd have it. She reads this every day. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. That's where I live. I live under this in the secret place of the Most High. And I'll say to the Lord, that he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. He told me to go, so I'm going to trust him, and I'm going to go. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. He's going to deliver us from all that stuff when we go. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Shall not be afraid of the terror by day, nor the arrow that flieth by terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day. Scroll up, Jared. I can't see it. Thank you. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in the... Look, at folks, do you understand this? Stay with me. Don't be afraid of the terror by night, the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in the dark, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Let me tell you something. There is some pestilence walking at the in the darkness. There's some pestilence, boys and girls. And don't be afraid of it, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday when the parade is going on. Because there's going to be 1,000 going to fall at your side, and there's going to be 10,000 going to fall at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. This is the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Only with your eyes, this is an encouragement, only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. We're going to see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. See, he's not our habitation so we can hide. He's our covering so we can go. There shall be no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Why? Because he's going to give his angels charge over me to guide me and keep me in all of my ways. And they shall bear thee up lest you, in their hands, the angels, lest you dash their foot against a stone. And you shall tread upon the lion and the adder, and the young lion and the dragon shall you trample under your feet. Why? Because he has set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he's known my name. He shall call upon me and I'm going to answer him, the Lord said. I will be with him in trouble and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. That's why I'm going. Right there. That's why I'm going. And I'm putting on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, girding my loins with truth, shouting my feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, carrying shield of faith wherewith I might smite all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and above all the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And having done all to stand, I'm going to stand.
Dave.
Amen.
Yeah. Dave.
Yeah.
But your actions, you know, how does this lead them to Christ? How does this lead Christ? See, that's what is always asked for those that take action like you and those of us that learn under you and gather around each other. It's, well, this doesn't lead them. We ain't going to lead them to Christ.
Ezekiel 3, Jared, Ezekiel 3. Go ahead, Roger. Keep going.
We're going to call them out of their sin.
Yes, sir.
Like John the Baptist, who called out the sin and said, stop doing this. We're actually showing the greatest amount of love that finally somebody will confront them with their sin and tell Amen. Them this lifestyle leads to worldly destruction and eternal separation from God. So that's one of the reasons we go, for someone to speak truth to them.
The main reason I go, Roger, I've been very open and honest. I'm not going to save people. I hope they get saved, but that is not my goal. If you got, are you kidding me? Guys, listen, do you think that the goal of those guys when they stormed Normandy Beach, were they storming Normandy Beach to get those Nazis saved? Is that what they were trying to do? Well, if we can just get up there and share the four spiritual laws with them. No, they were at stinking war. They were at war. And whether you want to accept this or not, like we saw yesterday, we're talking about the guy here in Newark who accidentally killed his foster child who had two cuts on his genitals. It accidentally happened. Did it ever dawn on any of you that we're supposed to protect the innocent? That we're supposed to protect the innocent people so this doesn't happen to them? Did it ever dawn on you that there are going to be, I'm just telling you the truth, that there are going to be hundreds of people marching in that parade on Saturday who are already HIV positive? Yes or no, David Arthur? Yes or no?
Thousands.
Well, marching in that parade who are already HIV positive. And David, what are they going to do with that HIV positive thing? That they, what are they going to do with that, David?
They're going to purposely and intentionally infect anyone that they can come into contact with.
So they're going to spread it. They're going to spread it. And we are supposed to be out there while they're working to spread this vile sickness. We are going to, we're supposed to be there to save them. Shouldn't we go to war to protect the innocent before we ever worry about the guy? Let's maybe they can get saved on their deathbed, but I want to stop their spreading of AIDS. Is anybody with me? Anybody? Boy, right wing watches all over me this week. See, they don't want people doing this. They don't want us doing it. This 500, I say 500 is going to be 12,000 marched in it last year. I just saw the statistics. 12,000 marched last year. Over 500,000, whatever they call them, allies. 500,000 people were there. And does anybody think that there's anybody today infected with AIDS that wasn't infected last year? Has anybody's life been ruined because nobody is stand up against this scourge of homosexuality? And is that our duty? Yes or no? I'm going to throw it open. Somebody tell me, because maybe I'm going about this whole thing wrong.
No, you're not. It's absolutely what we need to do. We're supposed to protect the innocent. You know what? You know who wasn't protected in 1913? Mary Fagan from Leo Frank.
Mm-hmm.
Ridiculous.
Come on, folks. Huh? I know this makes you nervous. To me, this is the gospel. This is the gospel. The gospel protects, folks. The gospel protects.
Hey, Coach.
George.
Coach, it's peace through strength. It's just like what Donald Trump did, that no one over the years, he had to talk tough and mean it in order to get that guy's attention. And it's the same way in Christianity. It sounds good to say, well, let's just go love on them and have compassion and blah, blah, blah. Well, the great passion to go tell them the truth. And in the meantime, they accept it or not, we're innocent.
Hey, George, they're eating our children. They're eating our children, right? They're eating our children. Jared, Ezekiel 3:17. Now, listen, folks, this is in the Bible. I'm going to read to you right out of the Bible. And those of you who are love, lead them to Christ, get them saved. I just want you to sit down here a minute and just rethink what they told you. The gospel's balanced. Love and wrath. The gospel's balanced, folks. It's a balance. We serve a balance to God. Judgment, wrath, mercy is balanced. Then I came to, no, where am I? No, three. Son of man, I've made you a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of my mouth and give them a warning for me. So will you do me a favor, Coach? George, Paul Webb. Chris Kane, Chris Fletcher. Hey, guys, will you do me a favor? Will you guys give them a warning for me? When I say unto the wicked, they'll be marching in the street. They're going to be marching in the street, and they're going to be at Planned Parenthood. The wicked are going to be. The Lord calls them wicked. I'm far too Christian to call anybody names. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and you... Don't give him a warning, nor speak to warn the wicked. He's called names from his wicked way. He's called names to save his life. See, he says, you got to go tell the wicked they're wicked so you can save their life. Does anybody read that differently than me? He says that same wicked man shall die in his sin. But I'm going to hold you accountable. That's what it says, doesn't it? But his blood will I require at your hand. Yet, if you warn the wicked, there is name calling again. And he doesn't turn from his wickedness or from his wicked ways. That dude's going to die in his sin. You tried to get him saved, but you went and warned him. He's on his way to hell. But know this, you delivered your own soul. And again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commits sin, and I lay a stumbling block before him, but dudes, he's going to die. That's what it says right here. Because you haven't given him a warning. He's a righteous man. He shall die in his sin. and his righteousness, which he hath done, shall not be remembered. For his blood, I'm holding you accountable for it, because you ain't warning him. You're seeing your buddy slip into sin, and you ain't saying anything about it? Huh? Are you kidding me? You're watching people at your church do praise and worship, and you know that they're dingling some other woman? They're not married? Huh? You what? Come on. We're big boys here, aren't we? Scroll up a little bit, Jared. You got to cut off the first part of it for me. Very good. And again, when a righteous man does turn from his righteousness, commits sin, and I lay a stomach lock before him, he shall die because you have not given him a warning. He shall die in his sin. And his righteousness, which he hath done, shall not be remembered. But his blood, why require your hand? I just read that. I'm sorry. Nevertheless, Roger, if you warn the righteous man that he's sinning, don't do that. And he doesn't. He stops. Well, he's going to live because you warned him. But more importantly, Roger, you've delivered your own soul. Wow. That's why. I had a lot of stuff to talk about. I didn't get a chance to get to it yet. I'm speaking right to the heart of it. Right to the heart of it. We're going to cause no small stir. It's going to be great. It's going to be the Book of Acts in 2018. And some of you are going to get a chance to be part of it. But I'm going to say this again. Some of you can help us financially. We got all these guys coming in. I charge them $30 to come. I'm going to buy all their food. We got travel. We got a lot of things. We got guys who came said, Coach, I don't have anything. I can't afford it. I said, that's all right. We'll cover it. You can help. You could go right now. You could go right now to CoachDaveLive.com right now and hit that donate button and send some money. Send some money. And I'm going to promise you this. We're going to spend every cent of it. Every cent of it. And so you can be part of it. See, Bible says that no soldier goes to warfare at his own show. That's in Romans, I believe. Does anybody know where that would be? No soldier goes to war at his own choice. See, it's Romans, 1 Corinthians. There it is. Not it's 9:7, I think, Jared. 9:7. 1 Corinthians 9:7, I believe it is. 1 Corinthians 9:7. See, you guys think I'm making all this stuff up, don't you? Hmm? You go to your, 9:7. Who goes to warfare at any time at his own expenses? I saw somebody comment. Do you know? Okay, I'm just going to say it. You know that when you tithe, they're basically charging you. I hear people ask me, Coach, how can you charge for the gospel? Well, I'm not charging for the gospel. What are you talking about? So, well, yeah, you make people buy your videos and they got to buy their CDs. So, if you sent me money, I wouldn't have to charge. You don't send money. Do you gripe at the Ohio State Buckeyes when you got to pay a ticket to go watch them play? By the way, they're a state-funded university, and you can't go there free? You don't gripe about that. Anyway, I was talking to somebody out there right now. Does any soldier go to warfare at any time and have to pay his own way? Does anyone plant a vineyard and not eat the vine, not eat the fruit of what he planted? Or who feeds a flock and doesn't eat of the milk of the flock? We got guys going to war, and some of you are supposed to be financially supporting the war. Okay. I got one more. I think I got one more scripture I want to go to. I don't know where that one came from. This is kind of stream of consciousness today, but I'm getting it out, and I feel better. Dave, I feel better. Yes, Rod.
I hate to interrupt you because you're on a roll of healthy discussion, but I just like to speak to the person who maybe doesn't want to be in the trench this weekend there. And I want to speak to the person that there, the times I've gone, the opportunity 2 or 3 feet behind the men in the trench to share the message of Christ is there. It has always been there. Now, I don't know how it will be at the Muslim situation, but at the gay pride parade, believe me, Believe me, not every man there is excited about his lifestyle.
No way he is.
And there's tremendous opportunity 3, 4, 5 feet behind some of you guys that are in the trench to sit there and talk to people about Christ. So there's all types of different levels of involvement. And the only other thing I would emphasize on the whole Islam situation, Turkey's prime minister, I think it's pronounced Erdogan or Erdogan, the other day, clearly prophetically said, a war is coming between the crescent and the cross. And this is what's coming. Now, our showing up on Friday is to honor God with the truth of the cross. It's to challenge that misguided faith that leads people to hell. But these people are saying it. I believe it. A war is coming, a physical war.
Yeah, I believe so too.
And the cross. And we're steps ahead of some people. I don't say that in a prideful way. So, you know, for the guy that's never been there, the gal that's never been there, lots of opportunity to share the gospel, but lots of opportunity to reflect John the Baptist.
Amen.
Hey, Roger, I think you're probably right. There will be a physical war. There already is a physical war between Islam and Christianity. Right now, the bullets part of it is not within our borders, but it will be within our borders if we don't find a way to prevent it. Now, I don't know if it is even preventable, but as one having been in the bullets flying war situation, I don't want my grandkids exposed to that.
Me either, Larry. Me either.
Everything I can to prevent it. But if I can't prevent it, I'm picking my gun up and shooting some SOBs.
Amen. Hey, by the way, I'm not making this up. While I'm sitting here, I've heard from 3 people who are coming and say, Coach, I could use some help with gas. People are listening to the show right now, say, I'm coming, but Coach, I need a little bit of money. I'm walking out on faith. Are you hearing me? Some of you could go right now listen, it's not always somebody else, okay? Oh, somebody else will do it. He'll do it. How about you? Why won't you invest in this war? Go right now to CoachDaveLive.com, hit on donate, and buy somebody some gas. Will you do that? Holy criminy. Thank you, Jared. Got it up on the screen. Okay. I got so much to talk about. Hey, Jared, let's go to my Facebook page real quick here. I never did get to Jude. Jude's where I was going to go today, but I've already given you quite a bit of scripture. I want you guys to see this. This is what's going to be like right there, Jared. And I posted this on Facebook. It says coming to Columbus this Saturday. This is just, we're not going to watch the whole thing. Okay. This is a video of the gay pride parade in Tel Aviv, Israel. Oh yeah. Israel, you know, Israel, that righteous, that apple of God's eye over there, that one that we're always fighting and dying for. This is a gay pride parade in Tel Aviv coming to Columbus, Ohio. And I want you to just watch this because it's got a little bit of street ministry going on in it. This is what we're going to see. Go ahead, Jerry. By the way, please for a second, Jared. One of the main advertisers of this one and the one in Columbus is going to be some sexual lubricant company. What's that tell you? Go ahead, Jared.
Out here proclaiming Jesus. They all must be born again. Here we go. Walking down.
God, and his name is Elohim, and his son is Yeshua HaMashiach. righteousness. And you will stand before the throne of Elohim, and you will account for the sins of this life. And I love you, and I want you to know the truth. He is Messiah, yes. Yeshua is Messiah. Have you ever read? Have you read?
Yes, yes.
Have you understood what God's holy word says? The Bible says that Jesus was without sin. God created a man and a woman to be together, to copulate, to form a child. The only reason you're on this earth is because your mother and father had sex to have you.
You're right, because they're doing something that's outside of God. See this? That's love. That's love right there. That's love. That's his love. That's his love. That is the love of the Pharisees. That is the love of darkness. That is the love that's in here. That's the people you're defending.
Okay, Jared. You get it, right? Get a feel for what's going to go on. This is war. Now, we're going to have Bible tracts. We're going to be handing out Bible tracts. But I'm going to tell you something. This is the lion's den. Lion's den. Now, the good thing is, there's going to be a bunch of us. So we're going to be okay. But this is what we're dealing with. And I hear people say, well, Coach, you just got to share the gospel. Well, here it is. We're all in High Street in Columbus. There'll be 500,000 lost people. Say, Coach, how can you say that? Well, if you were a Christian, would you be at that parade? Other than if you were there openly sharing the gospel? I would say this, if you are at that parade for any other reason than to share the gospel, you're not saved. There's no way that you could go and watch that. There's no way that you could go there and support your brother or your cousin or your school teacher as they parade and do gyrations down High Street in Columbus, Ohio. There's no way. Does anybody think I'm crazy?
Hey, Coach, when I was there 2 years ago, it blew my mind the number of people I spoke with on the sidewalk that they saw the cross hat and stuff, and they said, well, I'm a Christian too. I says, well, good. Then you're here protesting this parade? And they said, no, we're here to celebrate the freedom of these people. I says, when you celebrate that which God hates, you're on the wrong side of the fence.
Amen. Amen. So it's not for the weak at heart. And I'm telling you this, you're going to leave and you will never see homosexuality the same again. Hey, David, is the resident expert in here, brother? Am I out of bounds, Dave?
No, Coach, you're not. And I just want to say that when you expose the darkness, because that's all I do, that's all I want to do, that's all I'm commissioned to do is expose the darkness. But when you expose the darkness, you give people hope. There's many people to come up to me after you expose the darkness and let them know, hey, God didn't create you to be that way. Or you let the other people know who don't have a clue that they're preying on your children, that they're doing what they call recruiting your children, which what we call molesting your children into that movement. And so when you expose that to people and then they come up to you and say, well, thank you, because I never knew that. And you've just changed my whole perspective on it. And so
listen, folks, Jared, go to Ephesians 5, please. Ephesians 5. Hey, folks, listen. They don't have to molest your child to molest them spiritually. They don't have to physically touch your child to molest them. Do you understand that? Do you understand? Do you understand that they are psychologically and spiritually molesting your children in government schools? Do you understand that is their full intention? To do that. They're looking for allies. And as Jeff Klein said, when they went down to the parade in Newark, Ohio, it was 80% of them were teenagers, people under the age of 20. Why? Because they've been emotionally and spiritually molested. Maybe not physically, but they've been molested. They haven't been taught the truth. So Jared put up Ephesians 5. Okay, let's go there. I'm sorry, I'm just following the Spirit here today, okay? Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Anybody want to be a follower of God? I do. As a child, anybody raise your hand out there. You want to be a follower of God as dear children, okay, and walk in love. All right, yeah, I'm going to do that. As Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering, the sacrifice of God for a sweet-smelling savor. Okay, but don't you hate it? Don't you hate those buts? Hmm? But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. If you go, you're a saint and you're acting like that, supporting that, neither filthiness nor foolish talking. Boy, I could preach right there, boys and girls. Nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, boys and girls. Hey, Jared, I'm sorry. Didn't it start out something about the love of God? Didn't this verse start out somewhere, something about the love of God? I think so. I think it did. But therefore, followers of God as dear children and walk in love. Okay, I thought so. I want to make sure you didn't switch the page on me. Neither filthiness nor foolish to verse 5. For this you better know, dudes, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things come the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. I thought we were talking about love.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
Coach, I really feel, I think I've got a word for someone out there or someone. I'm not quite sure, but there's somebody out there that you're thinking about coming this weekend. And here's why you need to go. You need to obey the Holy Spirit, because in order to become bold, you've got to get around bold people. And if you're a man, you need to be around bold men. Because here's the deal. There's no shortage of quote, Christian pastors and men that are like crabs. They want to pull you back into the bucket and make you think what we're doing is not the right, it's not the way of Christ. And that their way of loving, touching, feeling, just sitting down with these people and reasoning with them and building a relationship, blah, 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 blah. They give you enough truth to make you think that what they're saying is right, but it's not. And you need to take the step of faith. Yesterday, just one quick thing. My wife and I had dinner at Outback Steakhouse, and our waitress, we got to know her. She just graduated from Oral Roberts University, and you know what she grew up doing? This amazed me. She came from a family that her parents were missionaries to Iraq. She lived in Mosul. Her calling is to go back and be a missionary to Iraq, and I said, I'm absolutely blown away, because I said, don't take this wrong, but most folk missionaries want to go to kind of nicer places. I said, you're in a war zone. And you know what? We had a great conversation, because here's someone that understood we're in a war. We're not here just to be entertained and pacified. But that's someone out there. You come to Ohio, and I promise you, your life will never be the same, because you're listening to someone, me right now, that I was in that boat just a few years ago, and I heeded the call. And you know what? I'm better for it.
Amen, George. Hey, George. Hang on. Hang, stay with me a second. Let me finish here. Verse 7. Be ye not therefore partakers with them. Don't go down to the parade and support them. Don't do that. Don't go support them. Don't march in the parade. Don't get afloat and go out there and tell them how much God loves them. Don't do that. How do I know? Because he says this, for you were sometimes darkness. You used to be like that, the Lord says. But now, are you light in the Lord? Walk as children of light. Why? For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. That's the fruit of the Spirit there, boys. Goodness and righteousness and truth. And we should oppose anything that's not good, anything that's not righteous, and anything that's not truth. Right? I mean, come on, man. There's two sides here, right? Proving what is acceptable to the Lord. And, boys and girls, have no fellowship No. How much is no? How much is no? Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. How do you get by that? How do you sit in your church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and deal with this? How do you do that? Because look, verse 12 says, it's a shame even to speak of those things which these dudes do in secret. It's a shame to even speak about it. And they're out in the streets doing it, and they know nobody. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. When you reprove it, you expose it. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Dang. Dang. Hey, by the way, Jared, didn't this verse start out as love? Let me go back there. Come on. Come on now. Come back with me. And be therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ has loved us. There it is. Man, man. Come on in here, somebody. I felt like I'm hanging. I feel like I'm the only one. I'm the only one getting this here.
Yeah, Davis, Chad. I want to get in here.
Yeah.
Hey, I just want.
Hey, Jared, hang on, hang on, Chad. Hey, Jared, get the one from Julio up ready for me. Go ahead, Chad.
Okay, I just wanted to talk to those people that may be on the cusp of coming, and that understand this. That I just wanted to assure you, you're not going to be alone.
Amen. And
you're going to participate into the level that what you feel comfortable with. And if that's just standing there with your arms folded, then that's just standing there with your arms folded. And you can just watch and just take it all in. And you know, the more you get exposed to it, look, this is the major leagues you're going to right now. So if you're just ready, if you're just ready to play T-ball, then, you know, you might there's going to be a huge learning curve for you. But I'll tell you this. If you successfully attend this, or you attend this, and we go out there to this thing, we'll be successful. You won't worry about going to another event ever.
Ever. Never will. Now, thank you, Chad. Listen, hey, folks, I'm just pondering something. I'm going to show you something here in a minute. I'm just pondering this. I always hear the naysayers. And so I try to hear the naysayers, be prepared to always be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within you. Can somebody tell me something? What is Pass the Salt Ministry gaining by doing this? You know, when we went to Port Arthur, we'd go to disasters. The money pours in hand over fist. Telling you. What did we raise, Chad? What did we raise? I don't know, $150,000 or something like that we raised for Port Arthur and Rockport and the flood. And we spent it all. We spent it all. And nobody will donate to this. Can somebody explain that to me? I'm not harping on money. I'm trying to expose us. I'm trying to get us to see. I'm trying to get you to see your heart. Why is it that you willingly contribute money to people whose homes are being destroyed, but you will not contribute money to go fight the war? So I ask him again, what is Pass the Salt Ministries getting out of this? I have a wife, God love her, who's stressing, trying to put this whole thing together. I've got Christians attacking us. I've got the homos attacking us. I've got people attacking us. If I really wanted to just do ministry, why couldn't I just go down and raise money every week and go down to the homeless camp and just get ripped off by those homeless people down there? Couldn't I do that? Couldn't I go around and feed people? If I really wanted to just be loved by everybody and have a nice, peaceful ministry, there's all kinds of things that I could do, all types of feel-good things I could do. How about this? I could be organizing a cruise to go evangelize somebody and pick some glamorous. There are so many things I could be doing. Why am I doing this? Why do I care if Chad comes? Why do I care? Well, I have a fealty to the Lord to stand up and fight, but I got a fealty and loyalty to Chad. Help Chad become all he can be. You know what's amazing about Chad? We're helping him become all he can be. You know what he's doing? He's dragging others with him. He's dragging other people across the finish line.
Coach?
That's what it's supposed to work. It's supposed to make disciples. Follow me as I follow Christ, Paul said. Follow me, I'll teach you how to do it, then you bring others with you. Come on in.
Yeah, when I taught school in the juvenile justice system here in South Carolina, my dad was visiting from Texas one time, and we got him to be the speaker at the graduation of one of the classes. And he said something that I'd never heard him say when I was growing up, but it just struck me. He said, one true thing about everybody is they do what they want to. So sometimes they have to make a choice out of things that none of them are really desirable, but they pick the one that they want to pick. They pick the one that thinks going to cost them the least problems or whatever reason. They do what they want to do. People do not give because they don't want to give, and they need to look at themselves.
Amen. Lowell just gave. Lowell, I appreciate it. Just popped up here on my screen. Lowell, thank you, Lowell. I'm telling you the truth, fellas. I'm telling you the truth. Maybe I'd say, listen, we're going to go down. Well, I can tell you this. Can I tell you another one? We used to do a project called Living Water. Well, this is about 10 years ago. I haven't done it in a while. And I raised money to take water to the gay pride, homo pride parade. We made had special water bottles made. And on the little bottle, there was a gospel. It says, he who drinks of this, it was called Living Water. We would hand out free water bottles. And on it was the gospel. He who drinks of this water will get thirsty, but he who drinks of the water that I give will never, not ever. And on the back of it was the gospel. And we handed those out. And you know what? I raised all kinds of money. People love the love of God to the lost. They don't love the truth of the gospel to the lost. So if I said, listen, we're going to stop at the homeless camp on the way. Oh, well, here, let me give $100. He said, oh, no, we're going to go try to rescue somebody's child from being trapped in homosexuality. No finances. Please listen to me. It ain't about money. I'm trying to expose something in your heart. In your heart. Why aren't churches all around Ohio taking up donations so we have thousands and thousands of tracts to go hand to these lost people? Why aren't they doing that? They don't want anything to do with it. Julio Severo, get it up on the screen right now, says this. Google imposes propaganda of homosexual pride on users. Jared, let's scroll down and read this. God, I only got five, just a few minutes here. Did a whole month to celebrate. Think about this, folks, what Julio wrote. A whole month to celebrate. Perverted homosexual sex. Pervert the meaning of family for the advantage of the homosexual agenda. Cannot Google dedicate a whole month for the celebration of the natural family? Hear that, JR? Cannot Google dedicate a whole month to Jesus and the Bible, which had a fundamental role in U.S. history and culture? People want to celebrate positive events as Christmas and Easter, not negative events as pride and homosexual sex. When most people think of family, the first picture that comes naturally to the mind is a man, a woman, and children. Never a group of worshipers of anal sex celebrating homosexual sex. Why pervert the natural family and induce people to celebrate proudly the crime of perverting it? I'm not celebrating any pride on homosexuality. Most people also are not celebrating it. Why then does Google impose such propaganda on its users? It's not just Google. It's everywhere. Normal people, Julio says, have no pride in anal sex. Let that sink in. Normal people don't have pride in anal sex, nor oral sex between men. No, normal people don't think that's something to be proud of. They're proud of the natural family, a man, a woman, and children. No one is proud of a group of worshipers of anal sex celebrating homosexual sex. See, he's cutting right to what this is. Google's an American company created by an American. Most Americans celebrate Christmas and Jesus, but Google never mentions this celebration massively recognized by Americans. Most Americans celebrate Easter and Jesus' resurrection. If Google never mentions this celebration massively recognized by Americans. Most Americans celebrate family as a man, a woman, and children. But Google's idea of family includes a group of worshipers of anal sex gathering together. Google's idea and propaganda have no place in the whole of American history. George Washington, the first U.S. president, in no way accepted worshipers of butt sex. Why does Google reject popular historical celebrations respected by large numbers of Americans and give preference to a celebration of pride of anal sex and other homosexual perversions accepted only by a fringe of extremists? It is a duty of the U.S. government to intervene against threats to the national security. Is not family such a national security issue? Google suggested that pride and anal sex is Family Day.
Oh, boy.
Did the founders of America see worshipers of anal sex as family? Were the worshipers of homosexual depravities? What did they advocate that pride in homosexual sex represents family? So why does the U.S. government do nothing to stop this desecration of its most important national resource, the family? For lesser threats, the U.S. has the U.S. military has intervened in the affairs of other nations. Why not a military intervention in Google, too, and in anal sex? I added that. If the U.S. can send troops to faraway nations to solve issues with no relation to the U.S. national security, why cannot the U.S. send troops to the Google headquarters and stop its abuses against its users and the American family? Forsaking one's own family to meddle in the affairs of distant nations, that's not patriotism. It is to betray the most important values of a homeland. Why wage stupid wars in faraway nations if the U.S. is not able to wage the most important war on its own soil and protect the integrity of family from greedy companies that have overstepped their limits? If the U.S. government cannot intervene in Google, why intervene in faraway nations? Is oil more important than family? To protect and heavily arm the Islamic dictatorship of Saudi Arabia, is that more important than to protect the family? Yet how can the U.S. government intervene in Google if its own State Department, headed by an evangelical Christian, has also declared June as homosexual pride month?
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
I can tell you why there's no pushback to the government. Is because there's no pushback from the pulpit. 2 days ago, I spent about a half hour talking, confronting a pastor that when we put flyers on the church, we were treated horrifically by two of their ushers. So I went and talked to him, confronted him. And the bottom line is, three times, Coach, I got him to agree. He agreed with me that we're losing our culture. I said, would you agree, Pastor, we're losing our culture? And he said, I would agree with that. But then when I asked him to come join us at the abortion clinic to help confront the moral rot that's invading our nation, you know what he said? He said, we have to do it by building relationships and loving them.
Yeah.
And So you know what? If there's no pushback from the pulpit, why are the people in those churches, why would they think any differently? Because they're only following what they're hearing.
Right.
Hey, Coach, can I jump in on that one right there, George? That is such a foul answer. It makes me want to vomit. In Hebrews 12, it says, and our fathers reared us in the ways that they knew best. And God disciplines and corrects those whom he loves. And brother, true love is correction. And if we love these, if we love our society, if we love these people, then we will correct them. No father does not correct their son. We correct them. We chastise them because we love them. And we warn them of wickedness. And we tell them of wickedness. When my kids do something wrong, not only do I correct them, I tell them what's wrong, and I tell them the consequences of what that wrong does. That's I hear pastors say that, it makes me vomit.
Hey, I agree with you, Dale. Let me add one little caveat. I go and warn them because I love the Lord.
Yes.
I love the Lord. I don't love them. I love them as much as I'm able to as a natural man. But I know because of my loyalty and my love for the Lord, he's asked me to go to them. He's asked me to go to them. The scripture says, how can they hear without a preacher? How can they hear without a preacher? Folks, this is in the gospel everywhere you look. How can they hear without a gospel, and how they can hear without a preacher, and how can they hear without a preacher unless somebody sends them? How can that happen?
Hey, Coach.
Covering cowardice is all it is. Covering up cowardice.
Hey, Coach.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, yeah. Maybe if we explain to them, because a lot of these Christians like passing out tracts, we'll tell them, make them understand that I just got $600 worth of them tracts of David Arthur's. And all these Christians I've showed the tracts to, all they love them. They think they're great. So help us pay for the tracts. We got right at $600.
Jeff, I got all kinds of signs. You don't have any, folks. I'm not complaining. I'm just telling you. The investment that we've made in this. Nobody, who's doing this? Who do you know that's doing this? Who do you know that's doing it? Come on, man. Come on.
Coach, there was nobody at the Newark parade. No pastor, no other Christians, nobody. We were the only ones there from a county away.
Nobody.
But we're going to fix that, brother. We're going to fix all that.
We are. So listen, I'm watching. I'll be watching all day. Send us some money. CoachDaveLive.com. Go right there and hit the donate button. Help us fund what we're doing. We got money in tracks. We got money in signs. It's going to be something. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to love them so much that we are going to go expose the unfruitful works of darkness. We're going to have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Jared, real quickly, Romans 1. Let me finish with this. Romans 1. Go to the very last chapter, last verse, Jared. Romans 1. I'm ending with this today. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Boy, you could chew on that one, couldn't you? Not only do the same, but go to the parade and celebrate them. And do it. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.